Passes, you look just like you did when we first got married.
He said, without my glasses, you look pretty good too. I have to tell a joke just to see if you're listening. So that means I know you're paying attention a little bit about what I'm going to say. I thought I would play your harmonica special. See, I was told that Bob Nyberg, we were going to have a special. So since he's not here, I'm going to play a special for Bob. All right. He's not here, so I know he'll enjoy it. Do that, and I say, name that tune. And somebody says, I have no clue what you were playing. But anyway, I want to talk to you about something that I think is very, very important. At least it is to me. I want to produce a problem and then solve the problem. Now, I have no clue really what time you're through here, what time you usually get through normally.
About noon.
By noon. On Mondays. Okay, we can handle that. So take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to show you a problem that many people have, and then, Lord willing, give the solution. We often hear that going to heaven is a gift. It's free. You don't have to earn it. You don't work for it. You don't buy it. So, when the Bible says certain things about the way you live, it looks like a contradiction in the Bible. So 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, I want you to look there with me in verse 9. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That looks like it's pretty well inclusive. Like, that eliminates everybody. And even those who just covetous? You mean if I covet something, I can't go to heaven either? So it looks like it kind of wipes out the whole human race. And if you do any of these things, you're bad, so you can't go. Now, you'd be surprised at how many people try to explain these verses and get all tangled up like a bowl of spaghetti. So I want to explain them. But first of all, I want to get you a little bit more tangled up first. So go to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians in chapter 5. Here's another verse that sometimes causes believers some problems. You see there in verse 19, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Make sure you do look at your scriptures. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So when people read a verse like that, well, you can't do that and still go to heaven when you die. So when some people say that, well, I'm a Christian now, I'm a believer, but if you do any of these things, then you still can't go. So now, Which way is it? I sin, I don't sin. I sin, I don't sin. Now, which one of those is true? Can both be true? Now, take your Bible and turn with me to another knee knocker. Way over there in the book of 1 John. You say, you're going to explain all this, aren't you? Why, sure, sure. But here in the book of 1 John, notice what it says in verse 9. Verse 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Not the Gospel of John now, the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. In verse 9 it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Are you born of God? You say, yes, I am. Do you still sin? Well, yes, I do. Then you're not saved. Wait a minute. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. All right. Does that look like a problem verse? It ought to have a good answer, huh? Could that verse cause you to question that? Well, then maybe I'm not saved. Because why? Because I still sin. Well, look at verse 15. Look down in verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother. Have you ever hated anything or anybody? And Christian love, of course. We hate sometimes. But look what it says. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. When we read a while ago over there in the book of Galatians in chapter 5, it made the statement, and all of those things that we mentioned, hatred. Hating. So, what if you as a Christian, you wind up hating? That means you don't get to go to heaven. You know, by the time we get through, nobody's going. At this rate. Envying, you have an envy? Or you can inherit the kingdom either. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Do you still commit sin? That's a sign that you must not be saved. You must never really been born again. See, over the years, I hear a lot of things. And it's enough to get a man confused. I trusted Christ as my Savior in Athens, Georgia. Walked down over the hill to a little parking lot. And there was a man down there. So I thought, I'm going to witness to him. So I found me a victim, a person. And so I approached him. I says, are you saved? I didn't know how to witness. I didn't have a clue. I didn't even know the Bible. I just trust the Lord. So I wanted to tell somebody. I said, are you saved? He said, yes, I am. I said, well, good. He said, are you? I said, yes, I am. He said, so you've been born again? I said, born again. He says, do you still sin? I said, yes, I do. He says, then you're not saved. I said, yes, I am. He said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. You see how quickly something changed from good to bad? We were all excited. I've been born again. He says, do you still sin? No, I don't. Guess what he said? Yes, you do. It wasn't long before we were on. Well, what I want to do is give him a Hawaiian punch. In Christian love, of course. But I could not explain that. He says, don't you believe the Bible? I said, every word of it. But I didn't know what the Bible said. I didn't know the Bible. But I know that that can't be true because I know I'm saved, but I still know I get angry and mad. And, you know, you get bad thoughts. So, that it can't be true. He said, if I showed it to you in the Bible, would you believe it? If it's in the Bible, I'll believe it. Because I knew that God would not put that in the Bible. He went and got a Bible out of his truck. He brought it over and he showed me 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him and he cannot sin. He says, are you born again? I said, yes, I am. He says, do you still sin? I said, yes, I do. He says, then you're not saved. Yes, I am. He said, no, you're not. Yes, I am. I walked away. I was so mad. Not at him. I was mad at God. Why did you have to put that in? Because that doesn't belong in the Bible. Because you know that ain't true. But the only thing is, though, I saw it. And I even asked a few people, and they could not explain this to me. So it causes you to think, well, am I or am I not? Well, if you're really genuinely saved, you're not going to want to go out here and do those bad things. Well, then why do I? Why do you? And you know you do. And You say, well, I haven't sinned in 40 years. Let me talk to your wife. And I've heard all kinds of things. So, is there a clear answer to some of these things? Yes, there is. Of course there is. And I don't have to twist the scriptures to make you see it. But we are going to see it. So take your Bible and go with me now. You got to stick with me now. The book of John and chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, there's a verse that Jesus said to Nicodemus. Now, down in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, who came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And so in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Down in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you can't sit, you can't enter unless you're born again. And then he makes a statement in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You must be. All right, now, how do you explain all of this? Now, I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm just going to show you an illustration. See, this arm right here, this is the arm of flesh. That's why I don't have my coat on and a short-sleeved shirt, because I want you to see the arm of flesh. This is flesh. When you and I were born into this world, this is our flesh birth. You can see the flesh birth. When I look at you, that's what I see. I see your flesh birth. I cannot see your spirit birth, because spirit is spirit. I can see your flesh birth, but I cannot see your spirit birth. You know, because if you've been born again, you've been born again of the Spirit. And you can't see the spirit birth. You can see the flesh birth. So all of us have a flesh birth. Now, our flesh birth came with a sinful nature. That's why you never have to teach children how to sin. Do you notice that? You never had to teach them how to do bad or do wrong. Why? It's natural. It just comes natural. It's a nature. Because we were born with a sinful nature. And because of the sinful nature, we all sin. And because we all sin, the wages of sin is what? We all die. So everybody who has a first birth, flesh birth, we all sin and we all die. We're all in the same boat. And regardless, some people might live to be 20 years old. Some 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, somebody even 100. But it doesn't matter. Sooner or later, you're going to die. You cannot stay here for long. So this is the flesh birth. God says in the book of Romans in chapter 9, verse 8, these that are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Now, God is our God and He's our Creator, but He is not your Father and you're not His child. So when you hear somebody say, well, you know, we're all the children of God. No, we're not. We are the creation of God, but you're not His child until you're born into His family. So we are all the children of the flesh. We have a sinful nature and we're all condemned to die. And there's nothing we can do about it. We can't change this. So now, when God says to go to heaven, you have to be perfect. Nobody in the flesh is perfect, so nobody gets to go. So it names all the sins of the flesh, and that's what we read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that they which do these bad things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In the book of Galatians, when it names them, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Because, see, this birth came from a corruptible seed. We came from a sinful person, which was your mom and dad, which came from their sinful person, our mother, all the way back. So everybody comes from a corruptible seed. That's why we're all corrupted. So God can't let us into heaven, because if we went to heaven the way we are, we'll do in heaven what we do here. And then heaven won't be heaven. We kind of messed up the Garden of Eden, didn't we? With one sin. One sin. And they were kicked out. So God will not let one sin into heaven. So if you've ever committed at least one sin, you can't go. That's would take care of all of us, wouldn't it? You've committed at least one, maybe a couple more. So we're all in the same boat. We cannot save ourselves. So you don't send this person to church to get him, you know, change him. You can't change this. He is what he is. Now, you don't tell this person here, like I used in the illustration today, dog, you stop acting like a dog and I'll make you a chicken. The dog is a dog. That's the nature of the dog. That don't wag your tail. And don't stick your tongue out and pant. And don't scratch behind your ear. The dog is going to act like a dog. A person, that's what they are. They're sinners. They are naturally rebellious. And all we like sheep have done what? Gone astray. All of us. We don't like authority. We like to be in charge. I'm the boss. Why do you think women and men that are married have arguments? Okay, we'll just forget about that. We'll go down that road. We'll never get back. Anyway, we all have a sinful nature. And we all don't like to be told what we can and cannot do. That's why when I was 17, I ran away from home and joined the Navy because I was sick and tired of people telling me what I could and couldn't do. I'm not saying I was the brightest kid on the block. So the Bible says you must be born again. Now, if I am born again of the flesh 1,000 times, my last time wouldn't be any better than the first. Because I am born every time of the flesh, I'll be born with a sinful nature. So when you talk about you must be born again, it means born again without a sinful nature. I have to be born again without a sinful nature. That doesn't sin. So the Bible says this in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever in the world, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now we hear that verse all the time. But remember, when God says, for God so loved the world that He gave. That means He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, as the payment for our sins. And said that whosoever in the world would believe that, two guarantees, will not perish. I mean, cannot go to hell. But have everlasting life means go to heaven. So in John 3:16, two guarantees. And they're both eternal. Can't go to hell. Why? Because God gave His Son to pay for my sins. I don't have any sins to pay for it. See, the reason I can't go to hell today, I don't have any sins to pay for it. Why? Christ paid for mine. And the reason I can't go to hell in the future, well, He paid for those too. He paid for my sins. Now, He either paid for all of them, or He didn't do me any favors. He didn't do anything for me. He didn't pay for my sins, because that's why we're going to hell. Because we're all sinners. We're all guilty. So Jesus Christ made a payment on the cross. Now, take your Bible and look there in John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. And this is what He says in verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. As many as received Him. See, not everybody will. But as many as trust Him, God says you'll become His child. Now, when you become a child of God, it's totally different than when you were born as a child into this world. You were a child of the flesh. God didn't do anything with the flesh birth. He didn't do anything about that first birth. What God was doing is giving you a new birth. A new one. So that's why, take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And this verse is totally awesome. But it's right there in your Bible. Right there in your Bible. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. He says, being born again, get this now, not of corruptible seed. So when you were born again the second time, that means born from above, means from God. You're born of God. It means God become your Father. So He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, that means not of the flesh. This one cannot produce a new birth. It can only give one just like it. That's why when man and woman get married, they have another one just like them. Just like them. And then when you read the book of Genesis, you'll find out, and everything reproduced after its own kind. Everything reproduces after its own kind. So we can only produce what we are. And we're sinners. And that's all you can produce. You can't produce a perfect child. I tried it. We had three of them. They weren't perfect. Maybe yours are. Now my grandkids, that's a different story. But now look at the last part of this verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but now get this, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for how long? So the new birth, that born of God, lives and abides for how long? Forever. Now, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was 18 years old. I didn't understand all of this, but I sure am glad I learned it later. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, God says I was born into His family because I believed the Word of God. See, the Word is like seeds planted. So you're planting seeds in people's minds, and whenever you think about it and you dwell upon it and it germinates, it can produce something. It produced a new birth. So when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was born into God's family. That means that this birth over here, this is my spirit birth. This is my new birth. It's not this one, improved. It's this one, totally separate. This birth here is born of God. Now, if it's born of God, that means God is the Father. If God is my Father, then I am His child. So I am a child of God. So when I became a child of God, remember this. God has no sinful nature, does He? He doesn't have a sinful nature. So He can't give me a sinful nature. So this new birth is born without a sinful nature. This one was. This one's corrupt. This one cannot sin. And if it cannot sin, it cannot die. If it cannot die, how long will I be a child of God? Forever. Which liveth and abideth forever. So this one is different from this one. This is a flesh birth, spirit birth. That which is born of the flesh, flesh. That which is born of the spirit, spirit. They're not the same. See, most people think they took this guy and they improved him, made him better. So if he got saved, then he's not supposed to have this sinful nature and do all those bad things anymore. That is not what the Bible teaches. God never did anything with your first birth. And I use this illustration, hope you can understand. When you got up this morning and you looked in the mirror and you were ugly, and you came to church and you got saved, you go back home and look in the mirror, you're still ugly. Why? Because God didn't change this. God gave you a spirit birth and you can't see a spirit birth. I cannot see your second birth. You can't see mine. All you see is my flesh birth. But I guarantee you, there's a new one inside of me. And he's struggling to get out. So I have a new birth. Born of God. No sinful nature. No sinful nature. No sin. No sin. No death. I am His child for how long? Forever. Now, where does this new birth live? He lives inside of this body. Inside of this body. So I have two births. This one God never changed. This one is divine, holy. So I've got these two natures living inside of me. And guess what they do? They fight. They argue. They're struggling for control of the body. I only got one body. Now the day will come when I'll leave this body and get my new body that goes with my new birth. And then I'm good to go. But spiritually, I'm already good to go from the day I trust the Lord. Because see, if you have to be perfect to go to heaven, and you do, then the gospel is of no value if it doesn't make you perfect the day you believe it. So the day I believed, I got my new birth. Good to go. This one never changed. Now, the key in my Christian life was learning how to walk with the Lord. When I got this person over here. Now, I'm going to use a simple illustration. Let's say this room in here, this is a boxing ring. And over in this corner, ladies and gentlemen, we have Mike Tyson. You ever heard of Mike Tyson? He's a bad dude. Bad, he likes to eat ears. Over here in this corner, Mike Tyson. And he has dominated this room, and it's his ring. You see, that's like the old sinful nature that lives inside of you. It says, this is my house. And now, along comes the new kid on the block. You trusted Christ as your Savior, and now the Holy Spirit has placed you inside of this body, this boxing ring, and I got a new birth. So over in this corner, I got Mike Tyson. Oh, over in this corner, I got a little child, a little baby that's been born into God's family. And I say to that child, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Don't let Mike Tyson have control of this body. I'm giving you the keys. I'm giving you this body. It belongs to you. This temple, I bought and paid for it. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. This belongs to me now. And I'm putting you in charge. Now, the battle comes down is how does this little baby, child of God, how does he deal with a Mike Tyson in the corner? And Mike Tyson says, no, this is my house. I ruled, and this is what I want. I was here first. And that's all true. But understand this, that when God put you inside this old flesh body with this new birth, He also gave you the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you think the Holy Spirit can take care of Mike Tyson? So whenever you trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you. Now, the Holy Spirit says, if you listen to me and do exactly like I tell you, I can tell you how to whoop him. He doesn't do it all for you. I'll teach you how to whoop him. And you only got one body, and you got these two natures living inside of this one body. And I can teach you how to have victory. And most Christians live their whole Christian life without victory in their life. They're always whipped, always down, always discouraged, depressed. Don't want to face tomorrow. I think I'll take an end of. They do all the kind of, and they could have had victory all along. They just forgot to learn how. So God gave you the Holy Spirit to indwell you. Along with your new birth. Now, your new birth, you can't sin. So we do want to explain all this. First of all, I want you to look there first. Back there in verse 24. Verse 24. For all flesh, the first birth, is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. There was a time when you and I, we were younger. And probably looked a little bit better. But we're getting older. The flower is starting to wilt. The flesh is getting wrinkled. And we're losing our hair. Sometimes my lover loses our mind. I had a friend of mine, Lee Patton. I did his funeral last year. He called me up on the phone. And he says, Yankee, just think, whenever we both become senile, every time we meet, we'll be new friends. I thought that was pretty good, Lee. I mentioned that at his funeral, too. Every time we meet, we'll be new friends. But here, he says in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass. Then verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth for how long? Forever. And this is the word which by the, get this, gospel is preached unto you. So when we preach the gospel and a person believes it, they're born again and they get a new birth immediately. That new birth is born of God and it can never sin and never die. That's why whenever you trust in Christ as Savior, you should know I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I can't go to hell. Why? Because I'm perfect. You want to know what a perfect person looks like? In my new birth. Now, sometimes people see my old nature. Have they ever seen your old nature? You ever seen some sweet little lady? And she can turn on you like a rattlesnake. And there's poison in the lips. And yet there's going to be another day that it's as sweet as pie. Sweetest little thing you ever seen in your life. And they're like a little stick of dynamite. And you can be so sweet and wonderful here at church, and before you get home, you can explode like a stick of dynamite before you ever get home. True? This means yes. This means no. This is yes. And it's true, isn't it? Yes. And you can be just like that. And so, You say, well, if you're really saved, you're not going to want to go out here and do all those bad things. Yes, you will. Why? God didn't change your sinful nature. Every believer can commit every sin any man can. You can live as ungodly as any lost man. And when you do, it doesn't do away with the new birth. And if you decide to serve the Lord and walk with God and be holy and godly in your Christian life, it doesn't do away with this one. Just because you're walking in the Spirit. Now, you need to totally understand it. And if you do, man, it's lights that goes on. You can see and understand stuff. Now, while we're over here this close, look to now in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Make sure you look at it. This is the verse that we looked at just a moment ago. And look down now in verse 9. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. All right, look up here. How many times have I been born? Twice. Flesh, spirit. Whosoever is born of God, which one was born of God? This one. Whosoever born of God does not commit sin. Why? He cannot sin. Why? He has no sinful nature. It's perfect. So whenever I sin, it's this guy. So how long is this guy going to be with me? Till you drop that physical body. It's in your flesh. That's why he says, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, look there in verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother. All right, look up here. Hatred. Which one do you think hatred comes from? This one? This one? Now, this one here. All right. That's the flesh. And look what he says. Is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. He doesn't have eternal life abiding in him. Eternal life abides in which one? See how easy that is when you see it and understand it? It's the new birth. And some people say, if you really say you're not going to want to go out here and live this bad, yes, you can. I wish people wouldn't lie to people. Because that all of it causes you to question and doubt your salvation. Like that one guy, well, if you're really saved, you're not going to want to sin. Well, I did. And I still wanted to. But now at least I understand why I am the way that I am. So, take your Bible now and turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and you'll notice that the verse that we read earlier, you'll see how it opens up. See there in verse 16? This is written to believers. Not written to lost people, it's written to those who know the Lord. And he's telling those who know the Lord, walk in the Spirit, verse 16, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Evidently, you still have the lust of the flesh. Look up here. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you still have the lust of the flesh. He didn't go nowhere. God didn't do away with it. And see, a lot of people think that, well, God eradicated that old sin for nature. You don't have it anymore. No. Oh, yes, you do. And that's why he says here in verse 17. Now look at the battle in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you should. See up here? When I want to do this, that is present. When I want to do this one, this is present. And there's a battle that goes on. You ever battle in your mind? I think I'll go to church. No, I don't want to go to church. I want to read the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. I want to witness. I don't want to witness. And you have to battle this. And it's something that every one of us have to go through. But notice what he says. There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Now here's the thing. This new birth, he needs to feed upon the Word of God. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 1, it talks about being born again. Chapter 2 starts off with, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So the believer needs to study the Word of God so he can become strong. And as you become strong, you can be able to have victory over the flesh, because it's a battle. In other words, this one says, I think I'll have me a beer. No, you won't. You have chocolate milk. And this one, he said, I think I'm going to go to church today. No, you're not. You're going to stay home and watch Batman. So you've got this struggle. I go, and some Christians are so spiritually skinny, they could use a Cheerio for a hula hoop. You know, I've gone to these different churches, and they always have some goodies outside. And they see, have you ever seen those great big old Cheerios they got? And they come glazed sometimes, they got chocolate on them. Oh man, those are big Cheerios. You know, cherries are good for you. Some people call them donuts, I think, or something like that. But man, I love those Cheerios. Some people, like I said, are so skinny, they could use a Cheerio for a hula. You might remember hula hoop?
Yeah.
Most of you probably tried to do the hula hoop. And that's when your back went out, right? Maybe that's why it's going out now. But anyway, God says that He wants us to know this and understand it. Now look what He says in verse 19. Remember, we read this a while ago. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunken, reveling, and such like. Other words I tell you before, as I told you in time past, they which should such things not inherit the kingdom of God. See how clear that is? Look up here. That's a description of the flesh. These cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But if you'll take and walk in the Spirit, you will not have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you have a choice. But if you'll do what God wants you to do, look in verse 22 and 23. This is the result of letting God use your life and you studying the Word of God, going to church, studying and meeting with Christians and witnessing, doing all those things. And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. I mean, all these things, God says, is the Spirit. Now, up there with it has the works of the flesh. You can do all of those things at any given time, because that's the nature of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is singular. It means you can do all of those things at any given time. So when you got the Holy Spirit, God gave to you all that you needed in order to serve Him. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So God says you can love. And you can have joy. And you can have peace. So that as you go through life and let the Holy Spirit control your life, so love and so joy and so peace, so long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and you can do all that. God's already loaded you down so that these can be the character of your life. See, if I walk in the flesh, it reveals my character. If I walk in the Spirit, that will reveal my Christian character. So which one do you want? So you can have it either way you want it. So the Christian can live as he pleases. I didn't make this up. I didn't write the book, but I'm going to tell it straight. Whether somebody gets on their high horse or a spiritual snob, that don't bother me none at all. The book still says it. So you have a choice. You can either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. And you're going to have results. So if I want to have love, joy, and peace and happiness in my life, then I need to do what will bring it. And if I don't serve God and I walk after the flesh, I can see what I'm going to produce in my life. Now, which one do you think God wants to use for His honor and glory? Flesh or Spirit? I'm His child. God wants me to serve, wants me to honor Him. Let me give you one other scripture before we close. Look in the book of Romans and chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And you'll notice there in Romans chapter 7 in verse 15. He makes a statement. And I believe Paul stated in this. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that do I not. And what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consider unto the law that it is good. Now that it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me dwelleth no, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find now. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Isn't that a little confusing? Maybe just a tad. Until you understand this. When I want to do good, evil is present with me. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's why you and I should not trust our first birth, our flesh birth. But this child of God needs to grow stronger. So as you read and study the Word of God, you can become strong as God wants you to be. And God can open up doors and show you things, and you'll be sensitive to the teaching, the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Otherwise, you'll be a defeated Christian all your life because you never have any victory. It's just a battle. And don't you get tired of that constant battle? If you get in the habit of doing right, it becomes easy. Get in the habit of doing that which is wrong, becomes easy. Well, which way you want it? So you go ahead and become strong enough, and the temptations of the world, like I had one man tell me, said, I don't have any problem at all with the Christian life. It's just temptation that bothers me. Yeah, I get that. Now, I promised you one other verse. And that was in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at it real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, where we started, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Or look up here. Which is the unrighteous? Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. So, then he says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, and all of this. It goes all the way down through here. Nor, in verse 10, thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Because, remember, Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't enter into it unless you're born again. This one inherits it because it's God's child. God's child is an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we can inherit it. These are not the children of God. They cannot inherit it. In my mind, it is so crystal clear. And yet I've listened to preachers and preachers that don't get this. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of them. And all they do is muddy the people's minds, and they have no clue how to explain what's going on in their Christian life. So that's why many people get in doubt their salvation. I must not really be saved because I still want to do all these bad things. And there's always some Christians that get out their magnifying glass and they become fruit inspectors. You ever seen any of them? Well, I know they're not saved. How do you know? Well, look how they're living. Duh. You can't tell a person saved or lost by how they live. You can't. There is no evidence because it's a spiritual birth. I could say a lot more about that, but I won't. But right now, I just want you to make sure you see this. Look what he says now in verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are what? Washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. See here, this is the way you was. But God saved you, gave you a new birth. This new birth, nothing from this old one comes over into this one. Can't do it. So that's why you're good to go. Are you good to go? If you died right now, where would you go? That's why Jesus says, if a man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And if he believeth in me, he shall never die. But if he die, yet shall he live. This one is going to be planted into the earth. This one is not. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. So that's why if you trusted Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. And the reason you're going is because of these five words. Christ paid for my sin. That's the only reason anybody goes to heaven. That's the only way you can be saved and be born into God's family is to believe Christ paid for my sins. And I don't have to. I don't have any sins to pay for. I can walk up to anybody and say, I'm going to heaven. How do you know? Because I don't have any sins to pay for. And that's the truth. And that's good news. But we suppress the best news in all the world because we don't want them to think that we have given people a license to sin. I don't give anybody a license to sin. But you can still sin. See, I don't sin. I do sin. But without the understanding of this, it's a can of worms. But not when you understand what the Bible says about it. Anyway, I hope that makes sense to you. Let me show you something before I close. You've never seen this before. You and me, sin. We all have sin on us. God loves us, hates our sin. This hand represents Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He came into this world because He loves us. So the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth, that's all He had to do, would not perish, can't go to hell, but have everlasting life, go to heaven. Because, see, my sins are all paid. Christ made me perfect. My new birth. I'm going to heaven whenever I die. Now, if I offered you the microphone and you accepted, what would you have? Microphone. If I offered you this cell phone up here and you accepted, what would you have? Cell phone. If I offered you my wallet and you accepted, what would you have? Empty wallet. If Christ walked in here right now and offered you eternal life and you accepted, what would you have? If it's eternal life, how long would it last? If it lasts forever and all your sins are paid, where would you go when you die? What's so hard about telling people this? It's not hard and it's not confusing, but most people don't witness. Most people who've known Christ as their Savior all their life, they never tell anybody because they don't know sometimes exactly what to tell them. Just tell them this. God loves you. Hates your sin. Christ paid for it. You believe He did it for you? He'll give you eternal life and you get to go to heaven on what He did. And then I asked him, I said, did that make sense? He said, yes, it does. If it makes sense, and you trust Christ right now as your Savior, and He gives you eternal life as a gift, where would you go to die? To heaven. Okay, if I came in here 10 years from now, and I walked up to you, and I said, where are you going to die? What would you tell me? He said, I'm going to heaven. I said, well, how do you know? Christ paid for my sins. That's the only acceptable answer you can give. You say, well, I go to church. That's not it. I changed my life. That's not it. I promised God I wouldn't be bad anymore. I promised I'd be good. That's not it. So that's not why God saved you. He saved you because you believed that He did that for you. He that believeth. Believe what? Believe that God gave His Son. For what? To pay for my sins. Am I being clear? I hope so. Last thing I want to do is confuse anybody. Because if you look confused, I'll start all over again and go another hour. Let's pray, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you've heard it all maybe all your life, but you never did get it. Do you get what I'm saying? Will you trust Christ to take you to heaven when you die? And if you're making that decision, I'd like to have prayer for you. I'm not going to have you forward, I'm not going to embarrass you, but right where you're sitting, say, preacher, that made sense to me, and I will trust Christ right now as my Savior. Would you let me know by just slipping your hand up very quickly, put it right back down. Anyone at all? If you've already trusted the Lord, you don't have to do it again, but if you never have done it before, you say, yes, I believe He died and paid for my sins, and I trust Him to take me to heaven. Anyone at all? Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity we have to share Your Word. For these that are here, and I pray that it has clarity to the message in their minds so they can understand just a little bit more how wonderful this salvation that we have is. And I ask Your blessings upon this ministry, those that lead, and pray also especially for Bob Nyberry that did. Continue to heal his body, and we thank You for him and his testimony, his love for You. And Father, that we know he'll hurt and ache for a while, but we pray that You'll restore him to good, strong health. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.